Hey everybody, this is Isaac, your host of the Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture podcast. Today we're going to talk about Century of the Self. This was a documentary tweeted by Kanye West, Mr. MK Ultra victim himself. He is showing us the path. He's talking about how the mind can be controlled. Is this because that's what happened to him? We're going to look at it. We're going to take a look at the first episode of this documentary. There's actually four episodes, so this will be a continuation show. So stay tuned and sit tight, because this one's going to be good. Hey. Previously, I talked about it. But today, I'm going to be about it. That's right, today we're going to talk about Century of the Self. As you know, Kanye West is the MK Ultra rapper who is the starseed alien from another planet. Self-professed, of course. But on May 21st, 2018, he sent out a tweet that said, "The Century of Self, it's 4 hours long, but you'll get the gist in the first 20 minutes. Basically, Sigmund Freud's nephew, Edward Bernays, capitalized off his uncle's philosophies and created modern-day consumerism." So what are we talking about here? This was during a time period in which Kanye West had resurfaced on social media platforms and was sharing his philosophies through Twitter, mostly, as I do. Sometimes I'll come up with some very thought provocative content, and I'll put it on Twitter in my visionary stream of consciousness. So if you're on there, you're getting some free powerful content at Illuminati Eyes. So much like Kanye spoke about in May, I thought, well, let me take a look. If Brother Kanye tells me to take a look at this video, then I shall do it. I actually didn't know about it. One of my friends told me about this, because I don't follow Kanye West on Twitter, but I do know a little bit about Edward Bernays and a little bit about Freud. The names are familiar. Now, before we get into my little recap of Century of the Self, which I'm going to go through the notes of this thing, so you don't have to watch the 4-hour video if you don't want to. I recommend it. It's very good, because it actually supports a lot of the theories that we've been talking about in the past. One of the main sort of tenets of the overall Illuminati conspiracy is that they know much more about the mind than we believe them to, understand. The mind is the final frontier of science. They got us focused on going out in space, but what they're doing is going inside the mind. They're not going external. I mean, they're doing both, right? Because if we look at the terms used by the occult with as above, so below, they talk about the macrocosm and the microcosm. The macrocosm being outer space, the universe, going to Mars, while the inner space is the microcosm inside the mind. They want to know what makes us tick. Now, why do they want to do that? Well, there's several reasons, folks. One is because they want to know what makes us tick so they can control us, they can program us, they can get away with whatever it is they want to do. It's a consolidation of power and wealth. Because with wealth comes power, as does knowledge, which I'm about to drop today. But the idea here is that the mind is just as powerful as the universe in terms of trying to understand the nature of reality. They want to understand the mind so that they can control us, as will be evident when we go through the notes of Century of Self. And they also want to eventually deceive us to upload our consciousness and minds into the digital Facebook. If you thought you could trust Facebook now, I got news for you. You can't do it. That old Mark Zuckerberg, he's a real shiesty character. Selling all the data to, you know, whoever. Government, CIA, FBI, big corporations. He doesn't care. He's trying to make his money. He's worth like $70+ billion. So if they do in fact create this digital matrix, which I am predicting they will, Ray Kurzweil talks about this. I mean, he doesn't call it Facebook, but in his books, he's the futurist that works at Google. They know what's happening. In fact, Google has some patents about uploading and downloading digital consciousnesses, basically. Kind of like profiles. A profile is the consciousness. Because here's the problem. They think that the human soul is something that can be predicted and understood and translated into digital bits of ones and zeros. And it's just fundamentally wrong. It's just not true. They want that to be the case. But intuitively know that that's not accurate. That's not true. They want you to believe that. They want to think that human behavior is completely predictable and understandable. And when we go through the notes of Century of Self, you'll see why this is insanity. These scientists are the demons walking around. They're, you know, and I've got a science background. I've got a couple of degrees on this wall that have sciencey words on them. I'm not saying that science is wrong. I'm just saying it can lead us down the wrong path. That's my only warning about it. It's like, is technology really making our lives better or worse? Is social media, is that connecting us or is that separating us? Lots of deep sort of philosophical questions going on. Anyways, Kanye West, I'm going to wrap this Kanye West recap up, because I know most of you have listened to my show and are tired of hearing about Illuminati rappers. But the irony isn't lost on me. This guy's tweeting about this documentary that talks about consumerism. And yeah, this is the guy who's given us these fashion lines of basically derelict from Zoolander and these hideous looking Yeezy Boost shoes that are $1,000 and probably crafted in some miserable sweatshop in Southeast Asia or something. But I go back and forth with Kanye because on some levels I think he's next level woke 1000. But on some levels I think he's just MK Ultra victim. So I go back and forth on it. I'm not sure how to take this guy. I do think he knows some things about how this big industry works and the Illuminati in general. I don't know if he's being manipulated to say certain things or if this is genuine. But back in May 2018, just a couple months ago, I did a whole show about Kanye. You really got to listen to that one. If you want more on Kanye, you really got to listen to it. I go through the history of his supposed rants that goes all the way back to, 2013 when he was on Sway. He was also on, was it The Breakfast Club? I don't know. He was on another show with Charlamagne the God. Anyways, he was doing these supposed rants. The media tried to make him sound crazy, and I kind of thought, well, I don't know. Stuff he's saying seems to make a little bit of sense. Because if the media jumps on it, I don't know how much you can trust it. But the most recent stuff that he had was a new interview with Charlamagne. And he said some interesting things like basketball and rap are both someone else's industry, so you're always just a player. He said people put thoughts in your head to separate. And all that makes sense once we go through the notes on Century of the Self. And all of this goes back to when he had his mental breakdown. Back when he had his St. Pablo album, he went on concert tours. And if you recall, in Paris, Kim Kardashian got robbed at a hotel. And back then, I claimed that that was quite possibly an Illuminati scare tactic, because they put her in the bathtub, which is symbolic of the ritual sacrifice of the goddess, as seen Whitney Houston and her daughter, Bobby Christina. You can look at, I've got an article called Decoding Illuminati Symbolism of the Bathtub, that goes into more details on that. But to me, that seemed like that was a scare tactic. And watching the Century of the Self, it seems that indeed that could have been what it was, because it's a fear tactic to work on Kanye's emotional drives and desires. But we'll get into that soon here. Okay, so Century of the Self. This was a 2002 documentary released over in the UK. And it is officially, quote, about how those in power have used Freud's theories to try and control the dangerous crowd in an age of mass democracy. Now, the film focuses a lot on his nephew, Edward Bernays. He's the guy who invented public relations. And it's curious because his name comes up often in research on the Illuminati control system. And if you go to his Wikipedia page, which I know Wikipedia is iffy, anyone can update this thing, so, which is good and bad, right? I've read studies that say this is accurate because so many people can update it, but I've also read that, you know, because anyone can update it, anyone can say anything they want, but for the most part, it's pretty accurate. But anyways, someone summed up his philosophy and they said his vision was of a utopian society in which individuals' dangerous libidinal energies, the psychic and emotional energy associated with instinctual biological drives that Bernays viewed as inherently dangerous, could be harnessed and channeled by a corporate elite for economic benefit. So that's essentially what this documentary is talking about. And then it proves how they did it. It's very important in the overall scheme of things, okay? I'm going to start with episode one, and we're going to start hacking through this. I'm going to give you the cliff notes of this thing, and then by all means, go back through and watch it. So in episode one, they talk about Freud, and he had found this primitive, sexual, aggressive force that was inside the minds of all humans, and when it was not controlled, it would ultimately lead to destruction. He was essentially saying that human beings left to their own devices are dangerous, and they were especially dangerous with democracy. Now, what was interesting was that Freud, a lot of people didn't accept his theories at first. And then ultimately Bernays would harness them and use them and they would work. So they're not entirely wrong, but we'll go through it. Bernays, Freud's nephew, was the first to take Freud's ideas and actually manipulate the masses with them. And Bernays, by the way, lived to the age of 103. So I'm pretty sure he was a vampire. Illuminate confirm. But he worked with the American corporations to sell people products that they did not need. This is the first time they had done this in history. He would provide the link mentally for mass-produced goods to the common person's unconscious desires. And this would, you know, initially it started as a way of selling products. But then it led to an idea of how do you actually control people? How do you control the masses? And it turns out it was the same thing. You fulfill their inner desires, anything that would make someone happy or content, and they would become docile, which leads to the what they call the all-consuming self. That's the experience of today. This is why they inundate us with pornography, sex apps, sex dolls, because they're appealing to the inner desires such that people will be happy and content and docile, and they can continue to do whatever it is that they want to do. Now, what is it that they want to do? Well, like I said earlier, they want to accumulate wealth because that equals power, while also taking us down the dark path, if you will, of occultism. Taking us down the digital matrix path, according to their secret history of the world. All that I talk about in my book, The Dark Path. Go get it. I read those reviews on Amazon. A couple of you left a couple recent reviews. Thank you so much. The Dark Path, greatest book ever written. Freud, he had ideas of common people analyzing their inner feelings, but expressing these feelings was completely unacceptable at the time. And we still see remnants of that in today's society. I am a man, and if you didn't know that, and men traditionally are a little tougher to analyze our own emotions and understand our inner feelings, and that could be by design, because, you know, maybe traditionally, I don't want to assume any genders or whatever, men take on the more dangerous jobs. And if men truly analyze their inner feelings, then maybe they wouldn't do those more dangerous jobs. I'm talking, you know, like maybe military, police, that kind of thing, right? That's why men watch sports. You ever go to Buffalo Wild Wings and have their average wings? And you're trying to eat, and there's a sports game on, they're watching the sports ball, and every 10 minutes everyone's screaming their faces off? It's because this is the only acceptable way for a man to express emotions, is through sports. They want to sell the archetype of this insane fan who throws shit at the TV, and the football guy did the thing that I didn't want him to do, and we're choking this year, you know? They want that. And that's fine. If you like sports, like sports. I used to be into sports when I was a kid. But then I grew up. Not just kidding. That's a very judgmental statement, Isaac. I'm sorry. But no, seriously, that is the reason why men are into sports like that. Why the archetype of the man getting upset watching his football team lose, that's what it is. It's because that's the only acceptable expression of emotion. And when you see guys doing this, you know, I've got a little bit of sympathy for it, because it's sad that that's the only way they can analyze, interpret, and express emotion. So anyways, Freud, what were we talking about? We're talking about examining oneself is the same as examining society, values, and beliefs. The leaders of the day were frightened of this kind of idea of these instinctual drives inside of the human beings. These instincts were also called remnants of our past. We talked about collective remnants from, like, I think it was Plato. But these were these ideas of these primitive forces that were still inside of us from the days of the caveman. Sex, violence, and various impulses. That's why these films and entertainment today are flooded with these kinds of things. When I wrote Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, I did a little short analysis of the effects of media. And there was a study I cited, I think it was Gerald Gerbner, about cultivation theory, and about how television shows us violence at the rate of X, and that is like 10 times more than what the average person would actually be exposed to in real life. But what was happening is that people ultimately believed that the violence they witness on these shows is accurate to reality, and they became fearful, or are fearful, I should say, continues to this day. And it makes people not trust each other. But basically, people are influenced by media. You see subtle messages that this isn't true or this can't be true, but that's a lie. Media influences us. Music, film, television. They're the biggest influence. Anyways, these remnants are archaic remnants, I think is what we call it, what I think Plato called it. Maybe it was Freud. I don't know. These remnants are inside the subconscious, and they're actually kept away from emerging because we have these conscious minds. So Freud was saying, like, basically there's these, like, kind of like buried primitive forces, and the humans are unable to handle it on some levels. So along comes Edward Bernays. He invents this thing called public relations. And public relations, you know, you hear that phrase now, you don't think much of it. It's pretty innocuous. But back in the day, when Bernays's craftiness came to light, people looked down upon public relations as a con, as a trick, as a psyop, because that's what it was when it started. I mean, it is to this day, but people don't realize that public relations is basically psyops. So back in the First World War, there was an effort that required Bernays to promote the idea that America was entering the war to, quote-unquote, spread democracy. So he was employed, and he used propaganda and slogans to portray President Wilson as a liberator that was there to make humans be free. That's how all this started. Bernays saw this and wondered if this same propaganda, which was successful, by the way, he said, you know, could this be used not only for war, but also peace? Now, the word propaganda, it's a bad word because it's associated with the Nazis. So Bernays, he set up a Council of Public Relations. Again, he invented the term public relations. Same thing as propaganda, same thing as a psyop. Bernays desired to make money by manipulating the subconscious. See, he was part of the power structure here, trying to take advantage of the masses. And there was a lot more going on within the human mind, and also the community or hive mind. So the question was, how do we play to people's irrational emotions? Because at the time, the politicians and the corporations and the companies, they thought that to sell products, you just, or sell an idea in general, because the media is included in on this, journalist, they thought that to sell an idea or a product, you would inundate the people with facts until they agreed, and then the consensus became reality. But Bernays thought of this in a different way. And they give you an example, which I'm sure most of you are familiar with. The cigarette companies wanted Bernays, because he, again, he was the public relations guy, the PR guy. They asked him, how can we get women to start smoking cigarettes? Because that's, you know, half the population. And at the time, there was a taboo against women smoking. So Bernays went to the psychoanalyst to try to determine what exactly cigarettes meant to women at the time. And he found that the cigarettes were a symbol of the phallus, a symbol of the male sexual power, as seen with obelisks. The obelisks are a symbol of male power. David Icke talked about this back when I started my journey. I was really into David Icke, and he talks about the symbolic male phallus and how he approached one time and felt the He felt the phallus energy go through him. And this, it's true though, the obelisk is a symbol we see all over the place. And it's usually across from a pool, which is a reflecting pool, which is symbolic of the female sexual power. Because the creative forces are typically symbolized through these male sexual symbolism. Anyways, Bernays, he needed to connect this idea of challenging male power as for women with the cigarettes. Because, again, the cigarette is the penis, the phallus, and he wanted to basically have the women believe that if they took back this phallus cigarette, that they would be taking back their power. Because this was around the time of the suffragettes and, back when women didn't have as many rights. So he paid rich women to hide these cigarettes. There was like a parade of some kind. And there's these women. He would pay them to hide cigarettes up their garter belts. And they were all supposed to light them up at the same exact time when they were given a certain, you know, symbol to do so. Now, before he did all that, he actually also told the media that there was going to be a suffragette protest with torches of freedom. That was the term he told them that is what it was. And they were curious as to what this was. What are the torches of freedom? And, you know, it was a great success. Great success. And the cigarette was now a symbol of challenging male power. And if you wanted to be a real woman, you had to smoke cigarettes. You had to smoke one of these torches of freedom. The power and the freedom for women was symbolized by the cigarette because Bernays found a way to successfully link the emotional desire that women had to have more power and freedom to this product. Now, what are some other examples of that? We see this oftentimes. These ideas that irrelevant objects become symbols for how others see you, which is insane, right? That doesn't make sense. It's like the men buying a sports car of some level. It works, right? It's a status symbol. I'm not saying this stuff doesn't work. It obviously works. I'm just saying that they take this stuff to another level that I don't know that we all understand how far this goes. But basically, from the Torches of Freedom experiment, they found that selling to the intellect isn't as valuable as selling to the emotional drives. Saying that someone will feel better if they buy the product was better than trying to factually sell the idea. And that's what Bernays did. That's what he was great at. So the corporations caught on very quick. And they needed to shift America from a needs-based culture to a desire-based culture. A quote from the show, he said, "Man's desires must overshadow his needs." I'm going to repeat that. Man's desires must overshadow his needs. They're basically saying the things you want are more important than the things you need. How weird is that? And of course that's happening to this day. Look at the YOLO movement. It's all about satisfying the inner desires. So Bernays, he started doing product placements and he got magazines with celebrity ads and he, sold the cars as symbols of male sexuality, got celebrities to be paid for advertising products as the expression of character. And again, we see this to this day. Examples would be like, you know what someone is like when you see them, in general. You got the guy wearing the black jeans and the black Metallica shirt and the long hair. You kind of know that's his thing. You kind of know what kind of person that is. I'm not trying to stereotype. I'm just saying that's generally the way it is. If I'm wearing my hipster getup, You know I'm not using plastic straws. If I'm wearing my long beanie and my fake glasses with my curly mustache. I mean, these people are pretty predictable, right? That's why the police stereotype. Because it works. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it in general, it works. And that's a whole another argument we could have. But it's the this stuff goes back to Bernays, where he was saying, and that as the documentary goes on, you see more proof of this, where they say, look, we got to appeal to these people's inner desires. So like, if you're an anti-conformist, there's like a whole outfit ready for you. If you're a snarky hipster that loves irony, then you're going to go to the store and they got the outfit for you ready to go. So America was now a consumer, not a citizen-based country. It wasn't about citizenship. Is that a word? It is now. It's about consumerism. This is, we're back, to put a time frame on this. This is back during the 1920s, during the Roaring Twenties, and the stock market was on fire. You know, it was again pushed by Bernays. He was pushing for the public to invest their money in the stock market because they didn't really do that before. In 1924, President Coolidge, he was a joke to the public because the media portrayed him as such. They thought he was a dull guy, apparently. So he calls Edward Bernays and in response, Bernays sends several famous celebrities to go and, you know, visit their friend Calvin Coolidge. And there's a two-part setup for that. He sets it up for the celebrities to show up. Meanwhile, he has the media prepare their cameras to get some shots of it. And now the masses think that he's a cool dude because he's got these big famous celebrity friends, and it was on the front of every newspaper. Going back to his uncle, Sigmund Freud, this is a broke dude. Like, no one believed this guy. He was an unknown person in Vienna where they make sausages. I think it's where he worked part-time. And Bernays actually got Freud's books published. So Bernays was very successful using components of Freud's theories, and then he got his books published and promoted him, which is why you know who Freud is today. You wouldn't know who he was because his theories were not accepted in the community at first, which makes you wonder how many people out there have theories that do work, then just are not considered. But Freud, his theories about group behavior and, again, the unconscious, aggressive instincts would talk about how they're actually more triggerable in large crowds, which I find interesting because if you've ever been to a concert, you'll find this to be true. That's why people like concerts. I don't think it's because people like the music per se, because the music is... it's blowing your eardrums out. You can't really hear what they're saying. You can't really see who's up on there unless you're in the front. And who wants to deal with the traffic? Ugh. I've become anti-concert in my recent years. But that's the idea here, is that I think people are drawn to the sort of savagery of the group behavior of a concert. It's a shared experience. It's the same reason why we go to movie theaters. This is just me talking. It wasn't on the show. Going to the movies is, you know, something to do, of course, and whatever, but like, it's probably more comfortable to be at home to watch the movie, but you do watch it on a screen and it feels better to have the group experience of it. So there's something to be said for an unconscious behavior in groups. Now, Freud, he actually thought that man was bad and that he couldn't be improved at all. Which, again, like, we're talking about, these are scientists. So they, in general, don't believe in religion. They're I don't know that they're all atheists per se, but organized religion is definitely at odds with their beliefs. But I do think maybe Freud was Jewish. I don't know. They didn't talk about it. But anyways, the Bible says we all have a sinful nature. Man is bad. It's true. But it's a lie to say that they could not be improved. Everyone has room for improvement. We all fall short to the glory of God, my friends. So Freud, he challenged the primary beliefs of democracy at the time. The belief at the time was that people could make decisions based on rational thought and facts, which sounds, you know, okay on the surface. But he was against that. He didn't think that people could. And if that's true, they thought, well, someone's got to run this place. So they needed a new elite to manage this quote-unquote bewildered herd. Who's this new elite? Illuminati. They want to control the unconscious feelings of the masses. A guy named Walter Lippmann believed this. He thought that ordinary people are people that are driven by their animal desires, and they should actually be feared for that because they're out of control. They're savages. So the Illuminati, we'll call them, they wanted to understand how the mind works in order to control them. And this is interesting because that is the plot of Westworld. I'm not gonna give anything away in case you haven't finished it. And shame on you if you have not. But that's the purpose for Westworld, they're basically learning how the human mind works. By inserting these robots in predictable situations, they've got all the controls established. The only variable is the human being that goes and visits the park. And they're tracking the data to figure out how the human mind works. That's the ultimate goal. So Bernays, he followed suit and he satiated the masses' animal drives by giving them products that would funnel money to the corporations. And it was interesting because he thought that the public, you know, because he was confirming these theories basically by selling the products and being successful at it. And he was worried that the public would possibly vote for the wrong person for president someday. Trump. Excuse me. He said he thought they needed guided from above. He thought that the people needed to be fooled into democracy. It's all a manipulation. So the idea is you tap into their deepest fears in order to get your own power. Now, anyone who pushes this consumer culture, I believe, should be distrusted. Shame on them for not letting people decide. But there's going to be some counters to that point by the time we get to the end of this note, so stay tuned for that. But like George Bush, after 9/11... what did he tell us to do? He told us to go shopping. Why do you think that happened? Huh. The shopping satisfies the inner animal desires, keeps us docile. That's the point they keep beating into our head in this show. Why would he want us to do that? He wouldn't want us to think too much about what's going on. He wouldn't want us to think about enacting legislation that destroyed privacy in America. And look, I get the counter argument to that because just recently they did in fact foil some kind of terrorist attack. I don't know how they got the data. I'm sure part of it was involved with stealing people's data or going through their emails or whatever. So you know, I'm not saying it's all bad. But it is a fundamental question. Do we want to exchange rights and privacy for supposed protection? How much protection do you think you're really getting out of that? How much money does this cost for this false illusion of safety? I mean, if they're really reading through every email and every social media post and all this crap, why do we still have violence? Why are there still terrorist-type acts happening? Anyways, President Hoover, he said that humans were happiness machines and they were the key to economic progress. Again, it's the idea that humans can be happy and docile if you satisfy the inner desires. Humans are basic bitches. That's what I'm saying. That's what they think, I should say. I mean, and they're not entirely wrong. This stuff works, folks. So, there's an idea that consumerism is the medicine that keeps the masses happy, while the Illuminati or the ruling elite can stick to their ultimate goals. Now, Freud, he said that man must always be controlled and thus always discontent in order to prevent this dangerous inner animal from unleashing. And then what's curious is that Joseph Goebbels, he was the minister of propaganda in the Nazi Party, he actually cited Edward Bernays as a motivation for, tapping into these savage, uncontrollable forces found in the crowds or the mobs. Because you remember that the Nazis, they would have these huge parades of 20,000-30,000 swastikas, and people were really into Hitler in Germany back then. But anyways, they witnessed the stock market crash. And then people lashed out against the corporations until President FDR brought in the New Deal. And the New Deal was meant to strengthen democracy. And basically the state was now going to have a bigger role in capitalism. And Goebbels said that FDR had chosen the right path to deal with all the social problems. Now this, my friends, is the balance of democracy. And this is where it's always a gray zone. There has to be this balance of back and forth between business and the state and the people. There has to be that balance, and it's always going to swing between those things. Now, the corporations, they thought FDR was a dictator, and the fact that Goebbels supported it kind of makes it sound a little more dictatory. FDR, he thought that people were actually rational. He didn't subscribe to the Freud-Bernays theories. He thought they should be included in the decision-making process, which is why he basically invented the, he started using the Gallup polls. They started polling people and saying, well, what do the people want? That didn't happen before that. And this rejected Bernays and his view of the people that were, he thought people were under this power of uncontrollable forces. And the polls were actually designed purposefully to avoid hitting those uncontrollable forces. They wanted to remove all emotion from the questions. So it's kind of like they did believe in Bernays' theories, which they should, because they were proven pretty true. And they wanted to make sure they weren't invoking the emotional responses from the people they were polling. So the corporations, they pushed a PSYOP against FDR, and they put together this National Associations of Manufacturers. And they launched a campaign that would hit the emotional connections between businesses and the people. Now, we saw this recently where there was a, and I don't remember what it was. There was a commercial and a guy was driving the car and he's like talking about how the government's getting between him and his doctor because of Obamacare and all this other stuff. But it's the same idea. It's using hyperbole to strike an emotional connection. And the idea here is that they want people to be passive consumers because that gives corporations more power over us. And they will give us all of these neat little products that they're claiming make our lives better, which really just plays to our emotions and our inner desires. But like, it keeps us on a, I don't know, base frequency, a lower chakra level, whatever you want to call it. Because people are actually a little bit more, people are a little bit more better than that. Okay. And I'm going to wrap that up. That'll be my final thought. I'll come back to that in 1 second. Let me get through these notes from the first. Because this documentary is 4 episodes long. It's like 4 hours. And these are the notes from the first one. The first one sets up the rest of them. And the fourth one's dumb anyways. There's barely much to talk about that. Because it was, unless you're like super interested in late 90s British politics. But anyways, the result of the Second World War proved that there were dangerous forces residing in humans. And more people turned to Freud and Bernays in the late 40s. And Bernays worked with the CIA. And there's more emphasis placed on managing the inner psychological state of humans in order to move forward. So, I already lost the point I was going to come back to. I was going to wrap this up real nice. Yeah, so what I was going to say, and that's the conclusion of the first episode. And we're going to go into more details on the second and third episode. It's going to go into what happens after the Second World War and the 60s movements and how they fit into this, and the freedom of the human potential movement and how the New Agers fit into this, and Katy Perry, and it's pretty crazy. It gets pretty nutty. And these are ideas that relate to stuff that I've researched. So it's not, you know, this is inside my crazy brain, ideas that I saw within it. Anyways, the idea that human beings were just basically animals in skin suits that were just running around here, running on our animal desires, while it could kind of be true in the sense that you could sell us products that we fall for, it's an oversimplification. I recently listened to a podcast Joe Rogan had on Jordan Peterson, and I don't know what to think of Jordan Peterson yet. On some levels, I think, oh, this guy makes a lot of sense, and I'm not sure why the media is portraying him as a alt-right wing, you know, nut job. But then on the other hand, I started listening to his book. It's called like the 12 Laws or something. I don't know. And I think, yeah, maybe this guy is kind of like a nuts and bolts. Everything should be done this way. Like everything's real simple in his mind. Like you should do this and you should not do that. And like, I hate that because like there's so much gray area in everything in life that's why I don't like, that's why I like the inner anarchist in me doesn't like a lot of laws, because it's like they try to fit everybody into a box. And that's what I don't like about Bernays and Freud's theories and these ideas of the animal drives, because people are more complex than that. And like Joe Rogan and Jordan Peterson talked about on his show, is that historically in media and entertainment, they want to keep things short and to the point and entertaining. And I've been the victim of this because I've been offered to get on several TV shows, and every time, well, not every time, most of the time, they want me to commit to this very sensationalist idea. And now I'm not going to give you any specific examples because I'm not a kiss and tell kind of guy, but just know that happens, where they'll like, because I'm the conspiracy guy, they want me to come on and be like, do you know, harps controlling the weather and these tornadoes, but to me it's a lot more complex than that. And I don't like to commit to one crazy view, but that's what they put on TV. That's also the reason why you hear sound bites. Like Jordan Peterson talks about how he would go to these interviews for an hour long and they would show 3 minutes of his, you know, content, because they would pick out just the most controversial things. And I get it, right? That's how they sell ads. That's how they make money. That's how they get you to click. Like, I get that. But it's not true to human nature necessarily, because as Joe Rogan and Jordan Peterson talk about, there is this push for long form content. Look at this show. It's an hour long. It's not a 3 minute segment on CNN or whatever. Like, people are actually more intelligent than the state or the corporations give them credit for. Anyways, we're going to visit in episodes 2 through 4. We're going to go through a lot more on this. We're going to talk about what happens in the 50s and the 60s, MK Ultra, Marilyn Monroe. There's a guy who makes a UFO gun. It sounds crazy, right? It is crazy. Esalon, Charles Manson, MK Ultra, Mind Control, Human Potential Movement, New Age, Katy Perry. It runs the gamut. It takes you all the way up to the late 90s. Yeah. So stay tuned for that. Subscribe to my podcast if you haven't yet. Please do that. Please leave reviews on things. Podcast, Amazon for my books. You can, if you haven't listened to The Dark Path, I did an Audible audiobook narration of it. You can get it for free if you sign up for a free trial on Audible. If you haven't signed up for my Patreon, please do so. That's how we're gonna get to 1,000 supporters, and we're gonna blast away to another planet as a cult going to the stars. And if you want to get on the ship, there's only room for 1,000 people. You gotta get on it. Anyways, I want to thank you for listening. I hope you have a blessed day, and as always, be your best for those who deserve your best.